No, we
with his poor form now.
With his poor form, you think you went and matched your keeper?
It's your boy Shea Wolo.
It was nice.
And you're listening to
Ball Gecko Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Ball Gecko Podcast. So it's a great day. Today on the podcast is going to be a narration. You can see I'm not coming with too much energy, like boom boom, because it's going to be a narration generally about the number one man that has been in the topics, especially since the weekend interview. He has been spoken more, even more than the match that was coming up when Chelsea played Liverpool, and then after his apology and everything. So we're like, oh, let's do some digging deep about who Romelu Lukaku really is. How did he start from where? How did he become who he is? And then like a narration about Lukaku's story so far. Today, we're going to start by telling you how he started as a boy, the clubs he went to, how many goals he achieved, going through it club by club. Then towards the end, we're going into the main story, which is his background. What family did he come from? Where was he? What parents, who his parents were? And then I feel from hearing this story, or I believe from hearing the story, you can now realize why Romelu Lukaku is as emotional as he is. Because from the interview with Tuchel, he was always saying Romelu Lukaku is very emotional, blah, 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 and that he likes to always air his opinion. Then we can see from his background the reason why he is the person he is. So that's what this episode is going to be about. So let's go straight to it. Romelu Menama Lukaku Bolingoli, that's his name. He was born in the year 1993. May 13. The name that stood out for me was the Bolingoli. I was like, what's the meaning of Bolingoli? And then I went to check it, and it means you can't stop the shine. I like that. Bolingoli. I feel like adding that to my name, Mayive Bolingoli. So Lukaku joined his local team, Rupel Boom, at the age of 5. Lukaku has been playing football from the age of 5, from a local team. People mostly talk about these professional footballers, and then they think it's an easy story. You can imagine somebody start playing football at the age of 5. At the age of 5, I think I was still rolling tires and doing beach houses in the gutter near our house every Christmas. After 4 seasons with Rupel Boom, Lukaku was discovered by scouts of Lies. Lies is a Belgian pro league club, and they had an established youth academy. So he got signed there at the age of 11. He played with those people from 2004 to 2006, scoring 121 goals in 68 matches. Lukaku has always been banging in goals. You can imagine an age, somebody that is 11, scoring 121 goals in 68 matches. You can be sure that he's scoring every other game. So he was with them for a while, and then went 2 years later at age 13. Anderlecht purchased 13 youth clubs from Lies because they were relegated. So at age 13, he started his Anderlecht journey. He played with Anderlecht for 3 more years, and he scored 131 goals in 93 matches. So now, if we are going to analyze from age 11 till age 16 in the local league that he was playing, Lukaku had already scored 252 goals in 161 games. That's like, he has been banging in goals really for real. When Lukaku turned 16, he got a pro contract with Anderlecht mainly. So that's like the main beginning of his career. And then he ended that season with 15 goals, and Anderlecht won their 30th Belgian title. So it was a very good start for Lukaku. The next season, Lukaku scored 20 goals in all competition, even though they were not able to retain their title then, but it was a very good start. And immediately he turned 18, he was scouted by Chelsea, and Chelsea picked up Lukaku. Immediately Chelsea got to Lukaku, he was loaned to West Brom. And despite Lukaku being in West Brom when Chelsea loaned him out, he was still able to outscore all our players in Chelsea. That's in the 2012-2013 season, scoring 17 goals. I think Chelsea have a way of always loaning out star players, because even now Amando Broja is on 6 and Gallagher, and then even Tammy Abraham that we sold is banging in goals even more. But we are hopeful that this season, since we now have Lukaku, he will be able to outscore these other guys. After he finished with West Brom, he came back to Chelsea. He was still found not good enough because he lost a Super Cup goal, a decisive penalty. He was able to lose that, and then Mourinho was angry with him. And then it was very tough for him because that was the period when we now decided to go for Diego Costa, which was a very big boom. Coincidentally, self, that same season was when we loaned out Mohamed Salah in January. So it was like we were shipping out talents that year. Then loaned him out to Everton. And Lukaku, in the first season in Everton, he still scored 15 goals in 31 matches and was able to help Everton finish as fifth place, with the club racking a record 72 Premier League points. Everywhere Lukaku has gone, he has always been winning. Now, we're expecting him to come back to Chelsea to sign fully, but for some reason, Chelsea sold him again to Everton. We made the transfer full because we didn't really need him then, and then he was deemed as not fit or not worthy yet, or not yet matured enough for Chelsea. He played well that season with Everton, scoring goals. That season was when he scored the 12th fastest hat-trick. So he scored a hat-trick in 11 minutes and 37 seconds. I think the popular one is Lewandowski in about 3 or 4 minutes. But Lukaku did this in 11 minutes. So I think there's still space for him to maybe be able to break Lewandowski's record. And we are hoping he will break it with Chelsea. So in March 2017, that's like the third year after he has been in Everton, they tried to give him a contract of 140,000 a week to make him their highest, but he rejected it. And there's something peculiar about this period because he did an interview, the same interview that he did recently. So Lukaku did an interview in 2017 saying that he questions the club's ability to sign big players, and then they are not chasing a Champions League qualification, and he offended the manager then, Ronald Koeman. To tell you, Lukaku has been giving interviews since forever. On that then, when he was in Lukaku, he was still able to set a record, being the fifth player under 23 to score at least 50 goals. Now, this sounds like not much until you hear the other people that were able to score at least 50 goals under 23. We're talking about legends like Robbie Fowler, a legend like Michael Owen, a legend like Wayne Rooney, and then the still playing legend Cristiano Ronaldo. So to tell you that Lukaku has always been in the news with the top guns, even at the age of 23. After that season, Lukaku was sold to United. On the 31st of March in 2018, Lukaku also set another record while in Manchester United. He scored his 100th Premiership goal in 216 games, and he was the fifth youngest player to ever reach. Out of the 28 players that have been able to score 100 goals in the English Premiership, Lukaku is the youngest ever. That's another record. So Lukaku started the 2018-19 season with 4 goals in his first 5 appearances in Manchester United, which included a brace against Burnley. But that was when Lukaku had a dip. This is like the first time that Lukaku will have a dip in form. And then I want us to note what actually happened with Lukaku in United. After scoring in 4 games, in 5 games, Lukaku went on a 12-game drought, lasting from 19th of September to 27th of November 2018. Not only that, this period was when Jose Mourinho was sacked and he was replaced by Ole Gunnar. If you know that story very well, you know there was times when Lukaku was having issues with Mourinho for a while. So all this period he had a drought, and then there's a new manager on board. Now, when the new manager Ole Gunnar came in, he left Lukaku out of the squad entirely for his first 2 games in charge. Can you imagine? Only for Lukaku to come as a substitute in the next 2 games for United, which was against Bournemouth and Newcastle. And in these 2 matches, he scored within 2 minutes of coming in. After being left out for 2 games, immediately was brought on within 2 minutes. He scored in the 2 matches. Then he played a full 90 minutes for the FA Cup tie against Reading, and he scored the second goal. However, Ole continued to start Marcus Rashford up front. After this fantastic record, he was able to start just 5 of the next 9 games. He played the full 90 minutes in just 2, and he failed to score in any of those ones. Lukaku is somebody that breeds off consistency. So breaking him in, him having to prove himself and still not being in the starting lineup, I think this is enough excuse for that, for him not being that consistent, because we all know Lukaku is an emotional guy. After this, his goal scoring form returned for the next 3 games, and he was able to score 2 goals in each of those matches. He scored 2 goals against Crystal Palace, 2 goals against Southampton, 2 goals against PSG. And those goals against PSG, I remember that period. It was the first time that any team would progress after losing at home in the first leg by 2 goals or more. So even within the storm, Lukaku was still setting records. Some people like to make it sound like Lukaku did not really do well at Manchester United, but this is a lie. He was actually scoring goals having issues with the managers, but still finding a way to still bang in the goals when he's given the chance to play, apart from the 9-game drought. And that was a very stormy period. I remember very well with Lukaku and Jose Mourinho. It was even worse than Ole's. But Ole never really trusted him. He was always moving him from flank to position, trying to change his style of play. So in 2019, all this came to an end and Lukaku went to Inter. We all know that story. Lukaku was a sensation at Inter. And first season, he was able to score 34 goals in all competition in Inter. In the second season, he was able to score 24 league goals and 11 assists. And he was the second highest goal scorer. He was beaten by Ronaldo. But he was still the one who won the MVP of the season. Very fantastic. On international stage, before we come to Chelsea, Lukaku at age 25 became Belgium's all-time leading goal scorer with 31 goals. At age 25, he broke a three-way tie, because there was a three-way tie for the highest goal scorer between Bernard Vooruf and Paul van Himst. He was able to do this at age 25. This is big. Then we all know about how Lukaku came to Chelsea for the big transfer fee and how everything is going so far. So now to the main story, why I think Lukaku is how he is. So how did Lukaku start? What is the main story behind the main man? So Lukaku came from humble beginnings. His parents traveled from Congo during the war. There was a dictator in Congo then, and then there was a war. So his parents had to travel and leave Congo, and then they settled in Belgium and they gave birth to him in Antwerp and his brother a year later. His father was a footballer. Did you know that Lukaku's father was a footballer? His dad's football career had to end abruptly in 1999, and then the suffering started. It's not like they had so much, but because his father was not able to play again, it was not easy for him at all. So there are interviews online where Lukaku was talking about how hard it was, and he was talking about how the family sometimes have to borrow bread, that his mom will go and buy bread on Monday for them to eat, and then she will not pay until Friday because the money was not forthcoming. And then there were times when the lights will be shut off for 2 to 3 weeks, they won't have light at all. And then he also gave a story about when he actually knew that his family were poor. Was a day when he came from school, there was the food feeding program, but during break they still come home to eat. And then he said he got home and then he saw his mom mixing water with the milk from the jar of the previous day, meaning the milk then is really cheap. It's not like how it is here in Nigeria, but most people just buy the milk. So it's like getting cowbell and then still mixing it with water so you can be able to take it with bread that they borrowed. And then said he was age 6 when this happened, and then at that time he determined in his heart that he will find a way to break his family out of poverty, because that was the first time that was actually clear to him that they are really, really poor. Not only that, he said they could not even afford to keep the heater running at home, that his mom will have to boil water, and the moment the water is hot she'll get a bowl and then she'll pour the water on the head of him and his brother. He said there were times, he gave stories about how he was not even able to watch football matches, and about how right now that's why he's so crazy about football, that there was a Champions League final of Zidane, that popular goal that the ball came from the corner and Zidane struck it and he hit the net. They said it was when he got to school that several people were talking about Zidane's goal, and he was like, oh, what happened? He didn't even really know until later. He said it was later in his life when he grew, and then there was internet, then somebody went and then were showing him the old matches, that was the first time he had an opportunity to actually see how the football match actually went, that he was deprived of all of that. Not only that, Lukaku suffered racism as a child, because Lukaku is 6'3". I didn't mention that. So he said he grew really fast amongst others. So even at the age of 10, when you see him among 10-year-olds, he's really big and buff. And because of that, he's easily picked out for racism. He said several times when there are fights in school, they believe he's the one because he's the biggest. And then when people tease him, he'll have to protect himself. And because of this, he has already built a defensive mechanism. He said also that several people always talk in his world. He said people in football love to talk about mental strength. Well, I'm the strongest dude you are ever going to meet, because I remember sitting in the dark with my brothers and my mom, saying our prayers and thinking, believing, knowing it is going to happen. I kept my promise to myself for a while, but then some days I would come from school and find my mom crying. So I finally told her one day, "Mom, it's going to change. You'll see. I'm going to play football for Anderlecht and it's going to happen soon. We'll be good. You won't have to worry anymore." So he made a promise to his mom all along that, "Don't worry, Mom. Football is going to take us out of this poverty. And I promise you that by the age of 16, I'll be in Anderlecht." She said he kept that. It was late by 13 days. That it was 16 and 13 days. He also gave a story about his grandpa, that they always still keep in contact with their people in Congo. That before his grandpa died, that his grandpa is a great supporter of his career. He was giving a story about every time his grandpa calls, his grandpa is always like, "Hey, how is your match?" And he always tell him, "I was the highest goal scorer. We are promoted to this." But he said a day before his grandpa died, that his grandpa said something to him. He said, "Lukaku, take care of my daughter." He said 5 days later, his grandpa died. And all of this are what built him to determine that he is going to earn enough to take his family out of poverty. So there were stories about his, or he put it out there also, that there was a time when the club his father played for later hired him as a coach, to be a coach with their youth team, and he was a technical trainer. He said at that point it made things a little bit easy, even though the money was not still forthcoming, but they were not as poor as they used to be. And then for me, the most touching story about everything that happened to Lukaku, he said when he was age 16 that he and his father used to share the same football boots. So his father would go to training with the boots and then he would bring it back for him to be able to train. And he said after training, he would clean the boots up and hand it over to his father back. They were so poor that he couldn't even afford a football boot. But he still kept going. He still believed in his dream. He still believed in the vision. All this period, he had just one friend to note. His name was Vinny France. So this was his very close friend. He said they were his neighbor. The guy is white and they are still very close friends up till now. There are pictures about him and that guy. He said all through, nobody actually believed in them apart from Vinny's mom. He said Vinny's mom used to try to support them in any little way. This is to say also and put out there that if you see anybody that is really struggling and is evident, you should try, because nobody knows who anybody will be. Apart from that, there was a time when Lukaku's father was locked up in prison for 15 months. And coincidentally, it was the period when he was in Chelsea. And this thing lasted for 15 months. His dad was accused of by his former lover that he locked her in a car boot. And then Lukaku was like, he was really affected by this news, that even though he knew the lady was a former lover of his dad, that he didn't believe that the story was true. So he tried to hire the best lawyers. And even with that, his father was locked up for 15 months with hard labor. And in this period, his father really lost so much weight. There were pictures of before and after. And this period was when he was in Chelsea. So it was, there is a thought that people believe that this 15-month period is what affected him while he was at Chelsea, that he was not able to perform as he could have, that he had to be loaned out and take this long route, because Lukaku left Chelsea at 18. He was 18 when he was loaned to West Brom, when he was loaned around, when he was going everywhere. And then he came back to Chelsea when he was 28, 10 years later. And then this 10 years is part of what he has built himself for this moment. There was an interview of Lukaku when he was 16, when he came to Stamford Bridge, and then he was shown around, and then he said the only day that I will cry is the day that he plays on the pitch. And then towards the end of that interview, one of the people that give tours came to meet him, and then he was like, "Are you dreaming? That come in, it's time to go to the boardroom." And he said, "No, I'm not dreaming. I know one day I will play in this team." Now, my argument or my sentiment from this is this. So Lukaku is coming from a home where he saw poverty firsthand. And people that see poverty firsthand, they tend to want to amass as much wealth as they can, because mentally they've been damaged and they always don't want to go back to this. So there are always talks that Lukaku likes money. I think this is the reason why he's like that. He has so many people that he's responsible for, because he always made mention about Congo. Definitely, with the kind of fame that Lukaku has, he will be shelling out a lot of money to set so many people in place. So as much as possible, you know, the career of a footballer is not so very long. He wants to amass as much as he can that will last him to take care not only of himself but of his family members, and then for him to be able to keep his words. And also, Lukaku is very emotional. We also, people that have suffered racial abuse, they have this tendency to be kind of emotional or kind of overreact. So I think the interview that he gave, I'm glad he was able to apologize and explain himself and say he did not mean that he wanted to go to Barca or Real Madrid or Bayern, but he was saying that those are other people's dreams, that his dream is to always be in Chelsea, and that Lukaku has always wanted to be a Chelsea player. So knowing that this boy is coming from humble beginnings, coming from suffering, we should let it go and accept his apology. And then I still believe he has a point to prove Rodo on the pitch, because the words of Tuchel is not enough for us to hold on to. So, but hearing this story, it kind of makes me emotionally attached to Lukaku more and feel like he's our brother. He's been through a rough patch and he's human too, like any one of us. And sometimes we human beings can be misunderstood. So let's give him a chance. So that's the story of Romelu Lukaku Bolingoli. It was nice, really nice hanging out with you guys today. And I hope you enjoyed the story of Lukaku as much as I did. So we look forward to him scoring many, many more goals and banging in more goals for Chelsea as he always has. And we lifting plenty, plenty trophies so he can keep his words. All right. Have a wonderful day and look forward to the next episode on the Ball Gecko Podcast.
You've been listening to Ball Gecko Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko Podcast. As you know, it's sponsored by MTN. Hi, Marwa.
Hi, bro. Today, we are discussing Nigerian football and AFCON chances. So, you heard the recent news about Ighalo not being released by his club?
Yeah, I mean, comes as the latest in a long line of clubs shyly sidelining Nigerian players after we've seen Emmanuel Dennis, Osimhen, and now... and it just happens to be all our forwards.
You know, the funny thing is, for the first time, I think the club is actually right, because they said he signed a new contract and then the clause was that he was not going to play international football. But then again, they released him for the last AFCON match
for
that
Ro
was in charge.
Not friendlies, rather the qualifier. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they are saying they are not going to release him. And then the NFA spokesman was like, Nigeria could have reported them to FIFA, but they believe in this is not the first time, that there's always a second chance.
Well, the issue is this isn't necessarily exactly a FIFA dedicated window, unlike the last time in the World Cup qualifier. So maybe that's the reason why they're saying, you know what, we're not going to release you for something like this while we have games still to play, because they will continue playing while Ighalo would have been playing at the Nations Cup. But anyways, we've called up Cyril Dessers, and it just goes to show that there's a lot of quality.
True. We have a lot of attacking options.
Yeah.
But the issue is not about calling them up, it's their ability to come and blend with the team. I think that's the advantage that teams like Germany usually have in international competitions,
because
they
play together for a while. Yeah.
Apart from the fact that some of them are in the same team.
Yeah.
They see each other play, but Nigerian players are scattered. This
everywhere
one is
from
Spain,
England to France,
England,
Spain,
the ones in Nigeria.
Holland.
Do you think this is going to be a disadvantage for us in AFCON?
Well, I think at the end of the day, a lot of African teams are like that. And most of the African teams that are not like that don't have that quality. It's not like Egypt in 2006 where you say, oh, a lot of the players are playing in Egypt and they are also very good. Now, a lot of the players are playing outside their countries, and the ones who are playing in their countries, maybe not of that kind of quality.
Well, it's one disappointment after the other. I just hope we'll not start hearing
Well, we don't
injuries.
Really know, to be honest, because now we're saying it's a disappointment, but we don't know how it's going to pan out with Dessers or with Iheanacho or any of the forwards. Onyekuru is someone that personally I've wanted to see in the national team for a while, and he hasn't gotten many chances. And now it looks like fortune has smiled on him, and he could be a big surprise for us in the AFCON.
So recently I heard the president of NFF, he was in the media, and then he was like, for the first time he's going to talk about Osimhen, and it was like Osimhen called him after leaving
the whole
Napoli
issue,
and then he was like, when he was about to remove the mask, he caught COVID, and then he said Osimhen said other people should get a chance because he feels he will not be able to give his best. I think it's a lot of humility. I'm not surprised, coming from Osimhen, for him to want others to represent the country in a better light because he feels he's not fit enough.
Yeah, I think it's commendable, because usually people would want to be selfish and say,
yes,
I must
regardless.
Be the one to try and do it regardless, even though you know
very
you're not in peak condition. But at the end of the day, it's nice to see, and I hope the players who were called up in replacement can actually live up to
I hope they give us a problem when it comes to times for the World Cup qualifiers.
Exactly.
How far do you think Nigeria will go, genuinely?
Well, I think ideally we should be leaving the group, because apart from Egypt, there are many strong teams in the group.
Yes,
if we can manage to top the group, that would be interesting, although I don't really expect it. And I remember in the former coach's contract, there was a clause that said he had to get to at least the semi-final of AFCON. And I think it's only fair that now that there's a new coach, or now that there's new players, the same expectation should be
from Egoavon.
Yeah.
Austin,
same expectation of at least getting to the semi-finals. Whether they can actually do it is another thing entirely, because apart from Egypt, if they meet a stronger team, say the likes of Senegal, the likes of...
Did you hear, talking about Senegal, did you hear the news recently? There was a popular traditional medicine guy who was saying...
There always is.
Like, there was the one in World Cup, what's his name? Octopus Paul or something.
Yeah, Octopus Paul in the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah, he said that was predicting. So he said Senegal is going to win the World Cup. And I'm like, okay.
World Cup or AFCON?
The AFCON, sorry. But Senegal is going to win this.
We'll only have to wait and see. But I think they are one of the favorites to win it alongside probably Nigeria.
But there are a lot of upsets.
Exactly.
Generally, I just hope we'll come out of our groups easy, because Nigeria are fond of never coming out of the group. We're always having to wait for...
Okay, I really think it's going to be much different this time.
Amen.
If we have to be calculating in the group that we are in, then we don't deserve to win the AFCON.
We don't. But we always find a way around.
And that's one thing. It's funny because we say that, but remember Portugal when they won the Euros? They were in a group that was not so tough, and they had to do their own calculation and they ended up winning the Euros.
But I think Nations Cup is quite a little bit easier, considering the fact that four teams in third place will still get to proceed to the next.
Yeah, it was the same thing in the Euros. I think it will be interesting to see. I think for the Euros, it gave a different feel, because you saw teams that you thought deserved to be there, but on a normal they might not have been there. You saw them still qualifying for the next round. But at AFCON, I think we're going to see a few teams who don't really deserve to be in the next round actually being there.
All right.
And I think if Nigeria can qualify as top of the group, then they could face one of those third place teams that don't really deserve to be in the next round. And before you know it, we're in the final.
What will you do if Nigeria gets to win this? For the fourth time.
I'll look for somebody to do giveaway. Because I can't do the giveaway by myself.
If we actually get to win AFCON, I think it'll be golden. We'll have something to smile about.
It really would. I think it would be very sweet revenge if we're able to win AFCON on Cameroonian soil after they won it in Lagos as well. So I think that would be really, really nice to see. But if it's possible... maybe
you know another thing I want to actually put out there is the fact that Nigeria is a team that is not about how we start. For some reason, we can play against Egypt and then play rubbish, and then as we go on, these guys will get the rhythm, because they are coming from different places. Fine, yeah. They are talented, most of them, as individuals, but will they play together? No, will they blend? Will they merge? Because We can't tell. Really.
So what players what players are your standout players that you're saying, if Nigeria is going to actually win the AFCON, we're expecting big performances from this guy?
First of all, I will expect big performance from Iwobi. The big names we have.
Interesting.
From Ndidi. I'm hoping Iheanacho. If Iheanacho can play like we know Iheanacho can play, it will be a fantastic tournament for us. And then I also believe in building from the back. I think our goalkeepers will have a lot of work.
Yeah, I think I've been impressed with Maduka Okoye in goal, and it will be interesting to see how well he can do in his first major tournament.
You know, it was in the news recently. He was saying that he expects Nigeria to go all the way to get gold.
That's
blah,
the
blah,
mentality
blah. I think maybe because it is his first competition, and then the other, he's a new kid on the block, but the older guy is not saying anything. The regular goalkeeper
we need, that's the energy that we need. Someone who thinks that we can actually go all the way and win the tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, honestly, because I don't like to get my heart broken. You know, as a Chelsea fan that I am, I'm used to winning. Especially right. Because of how last year went for us.
Of course.
So I'm just hoping Nigeria will not come and
script into
break
top
my
four.
Heart.
All right, guys. Thank you. This has been the AFCON segment of the Ball Gecko podcast, brought to you proudly by MTN. Next episode, we're going to be talking predictions and who is going to win the AFCON.
Yeah.
I already know who Marwa is going to pick, but anyways.
Who do you think I'm going to?
We'll find out next. All right. Next episode.
Let's leave it till then. Have a wonderful day.
This was Ball Gecko Podcast. For more content, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ball Gecko. Also, check out our website at www.ballgecko.com.